You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are looking at another power and aggression theme, which is devouring. And we are coming toward the end of this segment. So the power and aggressive themes, there are typically about seven that you will see consistently in your work. And we are on the sixth, so we are almost done. But devouring is a very interesting theme because you will see it pretty consistently if children are using animals in their play. So most of the time you will find it with animals, not so often with human characters. But if you have quite a few miniatures, for example, if you have sand trays in your playrooms and therefore you have a whole bunch of miniatures, kids will almost always take animals and then that's how the devouring play develops. And then, of course, if you have puppets, stuffed animals, any other kind of small animal characters in the playroom, they can do it. Puppets are a favorite because they can actually make the mouth eat something. So puppets are often used in that scenario as well. So when we're looking at the devouring theme, let me unpack what that is first and then potential meanings for why the child might be doing that. So typically, if you see devouring theme, one character is eating another one. And so they will typically choose aggressive type of characters, alligators, crocodiles, lions, tigers, something with a large mouth and usually teeth, dragons, I suppose, as well. And so you will have that character eating or devouring another one. And the character is usually eating a non-food object. So it's eating up another animal, another character, but you cannot assume that if it's eating food, that is devouring play. There's a distinction there because it's actually about eating up someone else or something else rather than just eating for hunger. And you may see, for example, the monster comes after a figure or a character and eats her. So the child will usually say, like, he ate him, or he chewed him up and swallowed him, or something like that. So the narrative usually will help you understand that it's a devouring theme. And so what that looks like in the way of interpretation and potential meanings, it is very much an aggressive type of play. So you will almost always see aggression and some kind of form of aggression in a devouring theme. And sometimes that can be because the child's world seems as though there's not enough nurturing. And therefore, they kind of feel that their caregiver, their parent, someone in their life has withheld nurturing. And therefore, there's aggression coming out in a devouring type of sense. And it's interesting because you have high levels of conflict in play that typically map to high levels of conflict in the child's life. So you can usually connect the dots of devouring play and in that form of aggression with a child's relationship dynamic in some capacity. So with friends, with parents, with siblings, there's usually some connection that can be made there. And there's another potential meaning that the child is expressing rage. And, you know, if you think about the deep neurobiological systemic stuff going on when a child is in the playroom, you know, you can understand why a child would have a character devour something else. It's just about as rage-filled and aggressive as you can get. Because if you stab something, if you kick something, if you punch something, if you yell at something, if you bury something, there's all kinds of aggressive types of play that the child could choose. But if you devour something and eat it, it's kind of at a whole other level of rage and anger. So that is sometimes also rooted there, is there's just intense rage. And oftentimes, if you see this type of aggressive play, meaning the devouring or eating, the child will sometimes express that because they feel scared in some way or endangered by someone that is making them feel very fearful. And so therefore, there's a power switch. And I've mentioned this in almost all of these power and aggressive theme episodes. You have to be able to recognize that deep down, unless aggression is just an outlet for big feelings, which in that scenario, we're talking about a different route for the child. But if the aggression is specifically because there's angst and frustration and all kinds of stuff built up, there's almost always a power and control element tied to it. So when we're talking about the child feels scared or fearful or doesn't feel healthy attachment, or there's some kind of relationship dynamic, if they feel that they don't have that, they're going to flip and take all the power and all the control. So therefore, this big mouthed, teeth filled, crazy monster is going to devour this other thing. You can see the power and the control and the need to kind of manifest a different kind of scenario where all of a sudden you don't feel so scared and you don't feel so endangered. So the power and control shift is very closely tied to all of these power and aggressive themes. So I hope that that is helpful. The devouring play, I would say the ones we've covered before are more common. So you will typically see, I mean, almost all the time, you'll see good versus bad. You will pretty regularly see aggressive victim or general aggression. And then death play is also extremely common. The powerful figure overcoming the weaker figure, also common. I would say devouring is probably the least common of the ones that we've already discussed, but it's still something that you will see regularly enough that it's worth understanding why the child's doing it and where it might be coming from. And it does fall under that power and aggression theme. So next week, we have our final power and aggression theme, which is seeking play. And so we will talk about that next time, and then we'll be ready to move into the family and nurturing themes. So thank you, as always, for being a part of the Play Therapy Podcast family. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.